We started a few weeks ago on the study of 1 Peter. And so if you have your Bibles, we encourage you to turn there. And we'll be looking together at 1 Peter chapter 1. But tonight we were singing about the goodness of God, the blessings of God. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord together to rejoice and be thankful and to bless the Lord, to bless the Lord. And so what we're going to do is, if you have a hymnal nearby, that's that book nearby, in the back of our hymnals is responsive reading. And we would like to go to number 644, I believe. 644. And it is Psalm 103. So if you have a hymnal nearby, look at it. Now, we have two types of hymnals. We have, you might have the New International Version or the King James. I have a King James here. You can always know when you have words like, instead of redeem, it says redeemeth. So it doesn't really matter what version you may have. We're going to read 644, and we're just going to read it together in unison. So we'll just read the bold-faced print and the italicized print together as a congregation, okay, unto the Lord. And it really is focusing on that word, bless. So I want you to think about that. So let's begin reading God's word together, Psalm 103, all together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God add his blessing to this portion of his holy word. That is a great psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. In other words, we're calling out our soul to bless the Lord. I remember, since weddings are fresh in my mind and having experienced the last 2 weeks of two wonderful weddings, I remember back in the day that I got married, and to a lovely gal from Maine. And even though she is a maniac, but maniacs don't call themselves maniacs. They call themselves Maynards. So, but anyway, we were got married, and I told Jeremiah and Emily, I told them this before they left. I said on their honeymoon, I said, you're going to feel the best, I think, when you're all done with all the festivities and you're driving on your way to your honeymoon. You'll just, it's all done. We've made the commitment, the vow before God, and it's all done. We're ready to go. And I know that was true for my case. I felt, and soon I felt so relaxed after it was all over. And not that it was a bad ceremony. It was a beautiful ceremony. We sang three songs to each other, and I surprised her with one song. And that took a lot for her to go along with it, but it went well. Her uncle said it's the most entertaining wedding that he had ever been to. And so after it was over, we were driving up to the mountains in Maine, Rangeley Lake, Maine, to a cabin. Now, I'm a Florida boy. So coming around the mountain, we were coming around this road, and in the middle of the road, there stood this gigantic, enormous moose. It was huge. The antlers it had, I mean, it was big. It could straddle my little Corolla, this moose. And I had never seen a moose like that. I mean, I saw them on TV, Bullwinkle, okay? But I have never seen a moose. We're coming around that corner, and I see that moose, and I have a death grip on the steering wheel as I look at that moose. And I look at Sue, and Sue just starts, you know, oh, it's a moose. And I just go, oh, bless us, Jesus, bless us. Because I was filled with fear. I was scared. This moose is coming at us. Ka-dunk, 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 ka-dunk. And sure enough, Sue just started, what did you do? She laughed. I don't know if that was reminiscent of, you know, like, Sarah with Abraham. No. But she laughed. So guess what? That moose started coming right to us. I stopped, and that moose came, and that moose brudged up against our Corolla, just nudged us enough to let him know, to let us know, hey, I'm in charge. I'm the boss. I got it. I was crying out to Jesus to bless us. We do that sometimes, don't we? We want the Lord's blessing. And we talked about that this morning. I sure want God's blessing. I want his favor. But as we look in 1 Peter, we find that Peter, he wants us to really bless God. Have you ever thought about that? To bring blessing to God the Father. Blessing to God the Father. So in this verse, in verse 1, as we looked at it, we saw that Peter's an apostle of Jesus Christ to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Peter here was speaking to those who were in exile, who were believers, and he was speaking to them that, hey, God knows what you're going through. God is the one who is making you holy and righteous, and it's because of Jesus we get to stand in his presence. And then notice what he says in verse 3 and verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will open up our hearts and minds and that you will teach us by your Spirit what you would have for us tonight, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of you and be strengthened in the inner man and reflect Christ to others. So we pray, come and have your way, Lord, we ask, and we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessing God the Father. Have you ever thought about that? Lord, all my soul, oh my soul, let me bless the Lord. Psalmist, even though he was struggling there, and we could agree with Christian, I think sometimes we would rather, it's easier to complain than to bless. But we could read Psalm 103 when we're in that moment. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits that he has for us. His benefits. One believer in the Bahamas, Carla Lake, she wrote these words. She said, "To bless God is more than to praise him. It is to praise him with affection and gratitude, not only in our prayers, but in our very lives. To acknowledge him as the only fountain of being and happiness from which all good ever flows. It is to call your whole being to arise, to praise, fill gratitude for God's justifying, redeeming, and renewing grace. Blessing God is to remember with heartfelt thanks all that he has done for you, both in the spiritual and physical realms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Peter is saying here in verse 3, he's saying there are reasons that we need to bless God the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that phrase, he's equating God, Almighty God, as Father. Now, in the Jewish mindset, scholars tells us that for them, they did not view God as Father. That was kind of hard for them to do that. God was completely holy, totally other. And so to address him as Father, and Jesus said, you know, pray to your Father in heaven like this, you know, and gave the Lord's Prayer. Blessed be the God. Peter's saying, I want you to bless God because he is blessed, and we are going to bless him because of what? Who he is. He's God. He is God. What does that mean, that he is God? He is creator. He is the one who has made all things. One commentator said this, "Man's greatest admission of unadulterated humility is to start without rebuttal wherever revelation begins, with God. The Bible does not involve itself in analysis of processes. It announces a person who is before all things. Had it been otherwise, man could regard everything else it says with suspicion. But here the mind must begin. Here man's spirit must surrender itself. Here the soul will find rest. By faith we understand." Hebrews 11:3 says this. "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen as was not made out of things that are visible. This is the foundation beneath our enjoyment of grace and our inward peace." So says Don Kenyon. In God's act of creation, and we know that from Genesis 1, in the beginning, God, period, God created. In the act of creation, we can see his authority. We can see that he spoke. It was done. We see his creativity. Think of all the variety of God's creations. What's the most beautiful picture you've ever seen of a sunrise or a sunset? And it changes every day. It's not the same. And we can marvel at his creativity, the variety of God's creativity, his compassion. Out of his love, he made the animals and made man in his likeness. In his provision, he gave man what he needed in the garden to tend it. He, in his holiness, he explained to man the boundaries in the garden and explained his sovereignty, his rule over all the universe. Our God reigns. It must have blown Abraham's mind when the Lord said, you know, so the sands of the sea, you know, and the stars of the sky, you know, that's going to be your nation because of God, because of who he is. Our God reigns. Our God is in control. Even when the world seems out of control, God is still in control. Blessed be his name. We're giving glory to God. We're giving praise to God. We're giving thanks to God. We're honoring God with everything we have when we bless him. When we bless him. That was part of the spiritual heritage blessings. The children would come before their father and ask for a blessing. We recall that, don't we, with Jacob and Esau, and how the blessing was so important, and yet through deception, that blessing occurred. And we can utter and hear Esau's crying out, Father, bless me too. Don't you have a blessing for me? A blessing. I want to be blessed. But then likewise, our relationship with God is so intimate that it is appropriate, as Peter is pointing out, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. John MacArthur says, though God was known as creator and redeemer in the Old Testament, he was rarely called Father. Christ, however, always addressed God as his Father in the Gospels, John 5:17, except in the separation on the cross. In so doing, Christ was claiming to be of the same nature, being of essence as the Father. He was divine. Also, by speaking of our Lord, Peter personalized the Christian's intimate relationship with the God of the universe through his Son. An important truth for suffering Christians to remember that Jesus Christ knows everything that we're going through, everything we're experiencing. He was tempted as we are, yet was without sin. So we can go to him as our advocate. And he understands. He knows. Don Kenyon, who was a Bible professor at NIAC, he wrote a commentary on 1 Peter. And it's really rich. He goes on to state, he says, the author, God, this beginner, this God and Father generated, set in motion all the antecedents implicit and explicit in our faith. We are alive in Christ because a begetter has begotten. All things begin in him and are therefore of him. God, our creator and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says to those who are in captivity, blessed be the God. Blessed be his name. Maybe he was thinking of Psalm 103. Oh, and within me, let everything within me rise up and bless the Lord, O my soul, because of who he is. But also we are to bless the Lord because of what he has done. Because of what he has done. Notice what he has done. According to his great mercy. How great is God's mercy? How great is God's mercy? I'm surprised that this morning when Ashley asked that question that Kids Club asked on Wednesday night, all of us were wise enough not to answer it. How old is God? How old is God? He's always been. He always will be, right? How great is God's mercy? David Matthaeus, he writes this, the mercy of God is one of the most precious realities in the world, one of the most revealing themes in all the Bible, and one of the most tragically misunderstood truths about God. If you want to know who God really is, if you want to peek into his heart, it is not the display of his just wrath and cosmic power to which you should look. Rather, set your eye on his mercy. without minimizing the fullness of his might, and take in the life-changing panorama. If we let the scriptures have their say, we will see that when God shows his mercy, he does so with utter intentionality and strength. And we as his creatures get our deepest glimpse of who he is, not just in his sovereignty, but his goodness. Not simply in his greatness, but his gentleness. Not only in his towering might, but also in his surprising tenderness. Remember the story of Elijah in the Old Testament, and he was running away, and he was scared, and he ends up in the cave, and he thinks that all the prophets of God have been killed by the evil queen Jezebel. And then God, there's a great storm, but God's not in the storm. There's lightning and thunder. God's not there. And then there's that still small voice, that gentleness of the Holy Spirit speaking to him. And he knew it was God. Wow. In that moment, God ministered to him, told him what to do, revealed his will, encouraged him, and strengthened him. We need a glimpse to remember his great mercy. And then we see that the verse 3 and 4 really speaks of this whole salvation. He has caused us, because of his great mercy, to be what? Born again. To a living hope, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The nature of this salvation as a new birth according to the mercy of God evokes praise to God the Father, who is the source of salvation. The new birth is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Christian has a living hope because Jesus has been raised, hallelujah, by the Father. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. This hope is further described in verse 4, and we're going to come to that. And it's described as an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The concept of inheritance is one of the major Bible themes that stresses the connection and gift. The inheritance is kept or reserved in heaven by God for his people. So this wonderful expression of God's great mercy, giving us the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, to be born again, to be born new, to be made completely new. It's just not a makeover. It's completely brand new. God has done it. Hallelujah. And we see that it's been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He is our example. He is our Savior. He is the one who's gone before us. And because Christ has risen again, therefore we have hope and know the truth that we who are in Christ will rise again and be with the Lord forever and ever. And that should well up inside of us praise and blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits. But because he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. A living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, he rose again. Just read the accounts. He was seen by over 500 eyewitnesses. It's not just fable. It's not fiction. It's reality. Christ rose up from the dead. The tomb is empty. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done this. So we see the reason we bless God. And there's many other reasons. How has God met you personally in your own heart and life? How has he listened to you over and over again? How has he caused and wooed you to himself, and he showed mercy and grace when you confess sins, and he has forgiven you and washed you clean? How has he blessed and ministered to you as you pored over the scriptures and he opened up your heart and mind so that you could understand his truth? And how he has answered prayer in your own heart and then in your own life, and how you can rejoice in that, in his faithfulness, in his goodness. There are many reasons to bless God, and we, his people, need to do it more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But then we move to verse 4, and we see here in verse 4, we see the reception that awaits, because we're filled with praise. We're filled with this relationship. We know Christ. We've come to believe in him. We've received him as our Savior and Lord. We've been born again, rescued from that kingdom of darkness, and now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And because of that, notice verse 4. It says, okay, to an inheritance. He has caused us to be born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. In other words, what awaits for the child of God who has trusted in God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because of Christ, we are his children. John tells us this: as many as received him, he gave them the right to be called children of God. We are his children. Guess what? You get an inheritance, and it is better than any earthly inheritance. It's better than your 401k. It's better than your IRA. It's better than your stocks in the stock market. It's better than any change you have on your dresser. It's better than any inheritance, because it's imperishable. It's imperishable. That means it will not fade away. And it's undefiled, which means that it is pure. It is holy. It's acceptable unto God. It's going to last for all eternity, this inheritance. Wow. I love the story of the prodigal son, where the prodigal son's father is continually looking for his lost son to return. I could just imagine him looking out the kitchen window. Is it today? And no sign. Then maybe the next morning. Is it today? Well, no sign. Or maybe, is it today? And then finally, one morning, he opens up the kitchen window and looks, and there's the prodigal son, and he recognizes the steps. He recognizes the stature. And so the father leaves everything he's doing, and he runs toward his son. And you know the story. The son there is coming back, having spent all his inheritance, having done everything to really spurn maybe the father and all that the family stood for. And he's coming back now broken, hurt, wounded, and just wants to be considered a slave in his father's household. And his father runs and greets him. And he kind of maybe almost tackles him on the road. And he weeps, and he won't let his son. But dad, I want to be. Nope, nope, nope. But dad, I want. Nope. You're my son. You were lost, but now you're found. And the father takes off his ring, symbolizing, you're my son, and what I have is yours. What I have is yours. So let's kill that fattened calf, and let's celebrate. And he does so. What does that tell me? It tells me that God the Father cares about his children. And he has an inheritance waiting in the heavenly kingdom for those who have trusted in him. It is imperishable. It will not fade away. It is pure and holy, and it is unfading, and it's kept in heaven. Peter says it's kept in heaven for who? For you, and you, and you, and you. Did you get an 8% return on your dividends from your stock market? Might think that's pretty good. Guess what? God's inheritance and his return is much greater. Much greater. That should cause us deep in our heart to rise up and say, as the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So the question we ask ourselves, how does God's word apply to my life? How does his scripture speak to me? What is God saying to my life tonight? Have you realized all that God has done for you and who he is? That your heart overflows like a spring of living water. You just want to bless him. Have you woken up in the morning and you found yourself singing a hymn, singing a worship song, or thinking of some scripture in your mind, and you're just so overwhelmed by God that you just want to bless him? You want to bless him. Oh, nothing that I could bring to him would be of any worth. But I just want to bless the Lord, oh my soul. There was a movie years ago I saw as a child. I can't remember the name of it, but the premise was there was this little boy, and he was out tending the sheep, but as he was, he fell off this cliff, and he died, and he went to heaven. And in heaven, all the angels were gathering around. They were having a great celebration, a great worship service, and God was on the throne. And everybody was busy trying to bring the best gift that they could bless the king, the sovereign king, with. And the little boy didn't know what to do because he was a new citizen in heaven, and he didn't really have anything to give to God. He didn't know what to do. And so he kind of went to one of the other angels and he kind of said, hey, what can I do? Can I go back down to earth? No, no, you can't do that. Oh, I got to go. No, 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 you can't do that. And the little boy did. He kind of like snuck out of heaven. Of course, it was a TV show. And he went back down to earth and he got a butterfly and snuck it back up into heaven. And so the time came when all the angels gathered to give their gifts to the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they displayed their glory and their splendor. And then the little boy came. It was his turn. And all he had was this little butterfly. And God was pleased with that gift above everyone else, because it reminded him of his creation. And when God created the heavens and the earth, and when he created man in his likeness, and when he created the stars and the moon and the sun, over and over in chapter 1 and chapter 2, what did God say? It was good. Have you experienced the goodness of God in your life, that you want to bless his holy name? Have you experienced a new birth and are filled with a living hope? Do you know what is waiting for you, an imperishable, undefiled, and unfading inheritance? And how does that make you live your life today, this moment? What has kept you from blessing God? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to our hearts tonight. We're so grateful, Lord. We have no idea, on one sense, what awaits us in glory. All that we could think or imagine it's even more spectacular, more wonderful, more marvelous, more miraculous because of the splendor and the glory of you. And we praise you tonight. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name because Jesus Christ is the name above all names. We bless your holy name because you, God, our Creator. We bless your holy name because you are our deliverer. Even as the Old Testament prophets say, you are a wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. We thank you tonight. And Lord, this week, as we think about our relationship with you and your relationship with us, Lord, may our hearts be filled with that ability from your Spirit to bless you and to give thanks unto you. And we praise you tonight for all the good things that you have done, for all the good things that you are doing, and for all the good things that you're going to do, for the glory and for the honor of Christ. This we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a great week.